Olympic. Mic check.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show. Welcome to the Two Men Will Pack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Two-Man Wolfpack. As always, my name is Adam, and dialing in from Chicago, my close friend.
The closest of friends, Brian.
Good correction. Today is Sunday, August 7th, 2016. It's been 17 days since our last podcast. I'm sorry for the long time away, everyone. To be honest, I don't even think we have a good excuse, Brian. There's just not a lot going on with regards to the Timberwolves right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest news in the past couple of weeks was that the second year of Jordan Hill's contract is not guaranteed, and Andrew Wiggins attempted a 720 windmill.
We also signed Noah Kroom as assistant GM.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you're right. There's not a lot going on, but you know what? I think we have a pretty interesting show coming up. Running through a little agenda, I'm not always consistent about the agenda, so I'm going to make a conscious effort to do that going forward. News and notes, we'll get through that pretty quick, I think. And then we have some exclusive team audio from a Summer League team meeting. We keep getting these exclusive team audios because, you know what? Two Men Wolfpack has some connections.
We've got great access.
Then we're going to do a little breakdown in terms of minutes that we expect each player on the team to get this season. Then we have a Where Are They Now segment followed by a mailbag. Brian, really full agenda for not much to talk about.
Yeah, we put a lot of work in this one.
We actually did. So how you been?
Good. I'm excited for you to come down here this week.
I know. The whole crew is going to be in Chicago this weekend. Me, you, Nick, and producer John. It's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, I was hoping we get some time in the studio together, but that's definitely not going to happen.
Nope. Only going to be in town for about 16 hours.
The life of a young father.
Yeah, it's tough. It's just tough to get away. But I am really excited. I love Chicago. It's going to be a fun time seeing everyone.
Yeah, it'll be good. Athletically, I'm challenged. I've been playing a lot of volleyball lately, and one thing I found out is my knees don't like landing in sand.
Oh, I would have thought sand is better on your knees than like a hard surface.
So sand is good for impact, but not good for stability. So like the wobbliness of landing on sand makes the sides of my knees super sore and puff up. I feel like an old man.
Can you do anything for that? Can you do like yoga or something?
I don't know. Let's move on.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, what's up with you? You've been running?
Yeah, I've been running. It's actually going pretty well. I've been Pokemon going while I run.
Oh my God, have you really?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I don't want to brag, but I'm level 11 now, which isn't even that good. But, you know, it's okay.
What's your sickest Pokemon?
Sickest Pokemon. It's hard to name one. I may be opening up my app right now.
I mean, don't you train them and then don't you compete with them in some way?
I have a Scyther and a Tangela and a Lickitung. Those are probably my proudest ones.
A Lickitung? Is that just like some Pokemon with a giant tongue?
How do you know?
How did they come up with these names?
Yeah, the names aren't very clever. I also have a Dratini, which are actually quite rare. Dratini is probably my best one, to be honest.
Can you sell it for money?
You cannot sell them. You cannot transfer them to other people, no. That may be coming in a game update, but currently you can't do that.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah. Should we get into some basketball stuff?
Let's talk about basketball.
So I wanted to start off real quick, Brian. We talked about the basketball tournament on the last podcast. I asked you about 50 questions about it. I was very intrigued by it. And I ended up watching the Final Four and then the championship game. Overseas Elite defeated Team Colorado in the finals, by the way, for the $2 million prize. I think the team share is like 180 grand or something like that per person. I was surprised, Brian, in general by the age of some of the players, the general lack of plays and lack of coaching.
Like it was just pure street ball?
Well, I mean, it was a step up from street ball. Like, they were setting picks and stuff, but that was about the extent of it. And then basically, it just came down to whichever team made more jump shots is basically how it worked out. So Overseas Elite had some really good jump shooters who one of the guys, I think the league MVP, plays overseas, and he made a bunch of threes, so they won. So that was the tournament. They really need to switch it to like 3-on-3. Like they have to do something different than just offer mediocre basketball in late July, early August.
I kind of like the journeyman aspect of it. Like, for these guys, it's a really big deal. You know, it's like what you'd see in a movie, basically, like, oh, we got to get the band back together to keep the community center in town. And it's just
that actually could be a movie.
Yeah, basically, it's like this ragtag group of former guys with bright futures hanging on for one last time, and it's pretty fascinating to me.
So a lot of them are current professionals that play overseas. There's no NBA players in it. I'm guessing because NBA players aren't allowed to play in it per their contract, but there's nothing against them playing in it in the rules of the basketball tournament from what I read. There's a few NBA players in attendance, though, so they like watching it. I don't know. Overall, I don't want to talk too much more about it. I love the idea of it. I just didn't like the execution. I just think they have to change something.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty bad basketball.
Should we get into another basketball tournament? The Olympics.
Let's do it.
The Wolves are represented. Tom Thibodeau is an assistant coach for Team USA. He's very intense, even in a 57-point win against China. He was on the sidelines yelling at the players. But I didn't really know how to take that. But you know what? I guess I kind of like it in that it's real easy for Team USA to kind of laugh these games off. And against China, they probably can laugh that one off. But later in the tournament, they may be challenged. So it's good that he's keeping his head in the game. Brian, did you watch that game?
I did not. I missed that one.
So it's almost so hard to watch that I have a question for you. Do you think we need to change something in terms of should pros be allowed to play? Bill Simmons had an idea on his last show that maybe we go 25 and under teams, including professionals on those teams. I think that would be kind of interesting. I kind of like that idea. What do you think, Brian?
For everyone or just America?
Just America.
Yeah.
Because honestly, we're so good. There's like, what, a 98% chance we're going to win the gold this year? It's kind of ridiculous.
It's, yeah. You're basically saying handicap ourselves because it's not fun for anyone to watch?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Plus,
but isn't that kind of bullshit? We're like risking our gold medal.
I mean, are we? If we like don't win the gold, we can be like, oh yeah, we sent our young guys to play. Who cares? I don't think it's the end of
the
world,
though. I don't know. Like, just because we're so much better doesn't mean we should make it easier for everyone else. I think it's interesting from a point of, from the perspective of doing that of USA basketball. Like, it's probably good for the young guys to get out there and get those reps. Like, does Carmelo need to be playing in his fourth Olympics when he's in the decline of his career? Probably not. Like, he's still really good. He gives us a really good chance to win, like, more than other guys would, but he doesn't really need to be there, you know?
Don't you think it'd be really fun, though, to have a 25 and under team? First of all, we'd still be the favorites, I believe.
By a lot.
Yeah, by a lot. And it would give the NBA almost a chance to showcase some of the young talent on an international stage where a lot of people are watching it. So I'm not sure it'd be a bad business decision for the NBA. And it'd make the games hopefully a little more competitive. Like, obviously I want to see the U.S. win the gold, but I mean, 57-point win against China, I mean, it's almost unwatchable.
Yeah.
Plus, I feel like the Timberwolves would have two Olympians on the team.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, I think it's an interesting idea. I don't think it'll ever happen from the perspective of, like, in swimming, Michael Phelps was the best swimmer in the world. I don't know if he's still really good. He's probably not as good. But, like, should he just not be allowed to compete in every event and handicap themselves? I know it's very different because to the NBA...
It's way different.
I know. The NBA players, it's a huge afterthought. To any other sport, this is, like, the culmination, well, except for, like, soccer and golf and tennis. But, yeah, I'm...
Like, we're already not sending our best players.
I know.
Like, Curry, LeBron, they're not playing.
Well, that's because of the Zika virus.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, they're just not playing because they don't want to play. They just had a long season. They don't get paid for it. I mean, I don't blame them. I'm just saying we already don't have the A squad out there, so...
Yeah, I think we could try it. I think it's an interesting idea. I think from a theoretical standpoint, it doesn't make any sense, but sure, why not?
Okay, so I won you over.
No, you did not win me over. Who's it better for? It's just better for the young guys to get these reps?
It's better for everyone.
It's better for
it's
the
better
fans.
It's better for general fans. It's better for the other teams.
It's better for the country, though.
It's probably not better for the USA, but it's not a lot worse, and it's probably better for the NBA.
I agree with that.
So, yeah, I agree. It lowers our chance of winning the gold medal, but whatever. Okay, Brian, there is another Timberwolves connection to the Olympics, as you texted me today, Dave Benz is in Rio doing some Olympic commentary today. He was commenting on fencing, which actually got me to watch it. I was very intrigued by fencing.
How cool is fencing to watch?
It's really cool. I didn't understand they had such great like sensors on their head and body. And it like there's cool lights that light up when they get hit or when they hit someone. Dave Benz did a great job, friend of the podcast. And it's good to hear him during the off season.
Yeah, I'm curious to know if he's actually in Rio.
I guess there's a chance he's not. I'd be surprised if he wasn't, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things you could definitely do remotely. I think we have the technology.
Although when he was on the podcast, he talked about how there's even some stadiums where he wasn't sitting on the floor and he feels like a lot was lost because of that. And I just feel like if he's not even in the stadium, his job it gets way harder.
Yeah.
I think he's probably there.
He's probably there. Shout out to him, though. Good for him. That's really cool.
Yeah, no, it is. We're going to have him on the podcast. I'm really interested to learn like how that even came together. Is he familiar with fencing? Did he get contacted? Did he contact someone? Let's get him on the podcast, Brian.
Yeah, big tweeting day for Dave Benz. We tweeted at him. He must be right on his phone, though, because I tweeted that I was really happy he worked the word rebound into it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he said a fencer going to rebound back, and I was like, oh, Dave Benz worked rebound in, and he liked the tweet within, like, a minute.
Oh, like during the commentary?
Right after the match, so it must have been, like, right after it got over. He checked his tweets, but shout-out to Dave. Always a good follower of the pod, and we look forward to having him on again.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. And if you're in Rio, have fun in Rio.
Have fun, be safe, don't get Zika.
Yeah, don't get the Zika.
So, on the topic of Zika, unless there is something else you want to do with fencing.
No, I'm good on the Olympics. Go ahead.
Oh, I've got a lot more Olympics. Do you think, at a high level, like, is it worth it for these guys to go? Like, Kevin Durant, what's his upside of going?
He gets a gold medal.
He's already got a couple.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get enough gold medals.
Okay, that's a fair statement, which I think anyone would agree with.
So, Zika virus, from what I've read, though, if you're not trying to get pregnant or your partner's not trying to get pregnant, most of the time when you get it, you don't actually even get symptoms. And when you do get symptoms, which is in about 20% of cases, it's kind of like having the flu.
Yeah, Zika's not going to kill you, but does it just go away? I'm assuming it stays with you forever.
No, it doesn't affect, they don't think it affects births forever. They're not sure how long it does, but it seems like it's a matter of months from what I read, from what they think currently. So, I don't know. The way I see it is the risk of actually getting the virus is real low because they're fumigating the hell out of the whole area where there's people. So there's probably not even many mosquitoes. And then you got to get bit, and then it has to have Zika, and then it has to show up as symptoms in you. It's a lot of what ifs. And the worst case scenario is you get flu-like symptoms.
Okay. I thought it stayed with you for a long time, and that's why.
I mean, viruses do, but they don't think it affects, like, if you transmit it to a partner who's trying to get pregnant, they don't think it will affect the baby, like, years from now.
Got it.
That's the current thinking. But they're not sure. They don't know for sure yet.
Okay. Okay, so you get a gold medal. Some of these guys, most of these guys already have at least one. You're going to get fatigued. It's time where they could be resting, which, from everything I understand, is huge for NBA players for their recovery.
I mean, you know, playing China and winning by 57 is basically resting.
Fair, but, like, they're traveling. You know they're going out and partying. Like, they're not just, you know, hitting the gym all day every day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They're in Brazil. Come on. I don't know. Like, I just don't think for some of these guys that have been there once or twice and already won, like, you want to represent the country and get the gold medal, but, like, it's a little selfish. Like, they don't need to be there. There's clearly a precedent for very good players not going. And I just think, like, yeah, like Kevin Durant probably doesn't need to be there.
So if I were a team that had these guys under contract, I would not want my players to go.
Right, it's all downside for the team.
Yeah, there's no upside at all. But on the flip side, if I was a player, if I was Kevin Durant, I'd want to go. Like I said, you can't get enough gold medals. It's got to be super fun because, like you said, they're going out. They're with top players who they've been friends with for a long time. It's probably a lot of bullshit involved. It's probably very fun. And then at the end of the day, they win a gold medal. And life is short, right? Like, I feel like winning a gold medal, even if you win three of them, that's something you look back on and remember. Like, Kevin Durant's not going to look back and remember this season in the NBA where they almost made the NBA Finals with Oklahoma City. But he probably will look back and remember winning the gold medal in Rio.
By the way, Spain is playing right now as we record this, and Ricky cannot stop missing threes.
Not surprising. He also looks exceptionally tan. Looks really tan.
Shocking. Ricky's been out of the beach. Okay, I think that's fair. If you're a player, you would definitely want to go, but as a fan and of like a specific team, like if you're the Warriors, you're not happy he's going. So we'll see.
That's correct.
Who do you think? Do you think anyone has a shot to lose by less than 10 in the finals to us?
Yeah, I mean, teams have a shot for sure. You know, I think we're going to win every game by 10. I think it's an underdog. Who's the second best team this year?
I was going to ask you your thoughts, but it's definitely, it's always going to be Spain. They've been the runner-up in the last two Olympics. They're playing Croatia right now. They look pretty good. Gasol's still really good.
Yeah, he is still really good. He would have been fun to be on the Wolves.
Well, he's a little less suited for the NBA now because it's getting so fast and spread out. But like against these European guys where it's not as much of the crazy athleticism that you see in the NBA, like he's pretty dominant. And then Mirotić looks really good. He stretches the floor. Spain looks pretty nice. But yeah, I think they're worse than they were in the past couple Olympics. They're getting a bit older. Marcus Sol's not playing this year. And I just don't think they have much of a shot. It seems like the third best team might even be Australia this year.
You know, I'm looking at Mark Stein put out rankings of teams. This is how he has them ranked. He has U.S., Spain, France, Lithuania, Serbia, Argentina, Brazil, and then Australia. So Australia is definitely in the running. They at least have a good young core.
They do. They have a weird core. And I think Bogut's playing for the first time in a while. And he's really good. I think people forget. Like, he's super good at defense, good shooter, good passer. I think he makes a huge difference. And they just smoked France yesterday, who has Gobert, Tony Parker, Batum, and Dia. Like, they should be the third best team, but Australia beat them by like 23. So I think they're going to end up pretty well.
Yeah, it seems like just looking at the rosters, Spain's probably the biggest threat. Man, it seems like the foreign teams, they just don't have a lot of good young players.
Yeah,
they've just kind of aged, and the U.S. has developed young players, and the rest of the world hasn't.
Zach Lowe and Mark Stein talked about this on their last pod together, and it's really interesting. Like, this Spain team is basically the same Spain team that's been really good for 8 years now, which is crazy because that's when Ricky first burst on the scene, was this, like, 18-year-old kid from Spain who could stay with the NBA guys. It's blowing my mind to realize that it's been, like, 8 years since that happened. They have had no real good young players come along, and, like, Argentina used to be super good, and they literally have the same four best guys that they had like 12 years ago when they were really good. And there's not this generation of young, good international players that you would think there would be. Like, you would think would increase in popularity after the Dream Team, and, you know, there's a lot more European players in the NBA. But that next generation just never happened. And, like, it's frustrating and it's disappointing because you would hope that these teams eventually would start getting better.
Yeah, I have the same take. It just, like I said, it'd be nice if the U.S. had a little more competition in this thing, even as a U.S. fan.
Well, right, but like even for the sake of basketball, like it's good to have more international players, just a broader talent base, so it's not, you know, the same dudes coming out of the same schools in the, you know, from same colleges in the NBA every year. It's disappointing. Like, Porzingis is the first good young international player. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone, but like, in what seems like a really long time.
Yeah, it depends how you define international, right? Like Ben Simmons.
Right, and I'm not including that.
Okay.
Because he went to, I think he did a year of high school in the U.S., right?
Yeah, I think he did too.
And went to LSU. Yeah, I mean, like, pure Euro prospects. I don't know. So we'll see. But no, it's exciting. And I think Lithuania will actually do quite well. They seem to do well in international tournaments. One of my friends is Lithuanian, loves basketball, so I'm rooting for him.
All right. Go Lithuania behind the U.S.
Behind the U.S. One other thing I want to talk about, and I've been wanting to talk to you about this for a while. Do you think the NBA would be better or worse with international goaltending rules?
Better. I've been on this for a long time. I actually wanted to talk to you about it too, Brian. It's just more entertaining. I feel like as soon as the ball hits the rim, it's really cool to have it be free game. As a fan, I like it more. And as sort of a fairness, it punishes shooters who don't make a clean shot. The odds of getting like a big lucky bounce go way down when someone can just swat it out of the cylinder once it hits the rim. So I like it for both those reasons. I think the NBA would be better.
What do you see as the potential downsides of this rule?
Potential downsides. I mean, you'd have bigs probably playing a little closer to the hoop. I don't see a lot of downside. I really don't. I think it's a great rule.
Yeah, it could be, you know what, it could be a really interesting way to buck the trend a little bit of, like, just space and jack threes. If there was a way to get a big guy down there to, on defense at least, to, you know, the second it hits the side of the rim, try and knock it out, I think that would be pretty cool. Or maybe even on offense, you just try and get someone down there to just, you know. It's like playing Kangaroo, a game we used to play for all the listeners.
I'm going
to
bring that up.
So we play this game. I don't know if anyone else plays this game. Let us know and write in if you have. But we grew up with it. We call it Kangaroo. And it's basically, it's like
21.
It's like 21, but you go in order. And the rule is you can't touch the ball while your feet are on the ground. So you always have to be jumping, hence the name Kangaroo.
And everyone cheats, by the way. Everyone's on the ground.
Don't mind that. Yeah, it's really hard to, like, not touch the ball at all and shoot it without being on the ground. But there's, you know, as long as you make an effort to jump while you're shooting, we let it slide. But no, you play with a lowered hoop, so we lower it to, like, 8 or 7.5 feet. Let's be real.
I'd always push for, like, 7 yeah. and a half, because I could never
Adam's
jump.
Adam's not much of a leaper. So, no, and the strategy was someone would shoot their free throw and you'd be next in the order. And, like, as soon as it touched the rim, like, you want to touch it, because if you touch it and it goes in, it's your point, like 21. And it's super fun to play. And it's even, like, I'm going to dare to say it's quasi-entertaining to watch. The NBA would be so much better with these rules. And, like, we'd get rid of offensive goaltending on rebound putbacks. Like, come on, if a guy can jump up and the ball's, like, not quite going in, and you can tip it in from above the rim. Like, that's cool. Like, every fan likes that.
So what's the downside, Brian?
So the only potential downside I could see is there could be some controversy about, like, if you were really athletic and you get up there, like, the second it touches the side of the rim, you could start knocking it out. And there would be some tough calls about, like, had it touched the rim yet, or was it about to touch the rim before you knock it out? And that's the only real downside I see, but I think it's just better in every way. And like a good defensive big guy, like imagine a young Dwight Howard with that rules. It'd be so sick.
Yeah, I'm on board. I don't know why the US, like the NBA, hasn't even really considered this. I don't even think they voted on it.
No, yeah, they've never brought it up. Like, but it's so much better.
It's a lot better. Let's make it happen, NBA.
Okay. I'm really passionate about this rule. I will say though, like, even the European guys don't seem to react as much as you think it would. Like, I'm watching the game now.
Yeah, they don't take advantage of it as much as you think.
No, like, I'm watching it now, and a free throw just, like, went around the sides of the rim, like, went off the backboard and, like, around the rim again and went in. Like, I think NBA players are athletic enough where they would knock that shit out, and that would be really fun to watch.
I'm on board. They'd play even more above the rim than
yeah.
they do now, which is a good thing.
So entertaining. Okay, we're on board with that. Real quick on the Olympics, what are your other favorites besides basketball? Or is basketball even one of your favorites because it's so – we just know the outcome of most of the games?
You know, it is just because I know the people. So it's probably my favorite sport just because I know – well, not all the people, but a lot of the players. Whereas when I watch, like, track and field, for example, I know no one, even though I like watching the races because there's a lot of drama there. So that's what separates basketball for me. But I do like a lot of the track and field events. I think those are pretty fun. I like the super random events. I had fun watching fencing today. Volleyball is not so random, but I had a lot of fun watching that today. Indoor volleyball, they're, like, so good. We were talking about it before the podcast, Brian, but they're, like, insanely good.
Men and women. Women's volleyball is actually looks – women's indoor volleyball looks really similar to men's indoor volleyball because the lower net kind of equalizes – and that's still, like, really high-quality product. And these women are so athletic. It's one of those things where, like, yeah, I could never do that.
Yep, and I totally agree. And I always like watching soccer as a background thing. So I dig soccer, and then I'm a tennis fan, so I try to catch the tennis. Those are my go-tos, kind of a big list.
Do people care about Olympic tennis? Like, do the athletes – is it a big deal to them?
Yeah, they all show up.
Fair.
I mean, it is kind of a big deal for them. Yeah. I mean, they all come and compete. It's not like even golf. They added golf this year, and, like, I think two of the top five guys didn't even show up. So clearly it's not a big thing in golf yet. But in tennis, it is a big thing.
Yeah.
What do you like besides basketball, Brian?
Yeah, I do love volleyball, both men's and women's, beach and indoor. I think I think I like beach a little better because it goes faster. Like, the indoor games get really stretched out with timeouts and subs, and they have TV timeouts, which kind of sucks. So they get a little bit harder to watch. And beach is so strategic. Like, you just hit it to one person, and if you aim your spot, if you pick the right spot when you hit it right away, you'll score. So anyways, love beach volleyball. I find handball fascinating. Have you ever watched that?
You know, I have watched a little bit of handball.
It's really cool. I think it's actually moderately big internationally. I'm surprised it's not bigger here because it looks super fun to play and it's pretty interesting to watch.
We should play sometime.
I would actually love to play handball.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It's kind of infuriating as a basketball fan because I don't understand the dribbling rules because they'll take like four steps, lift both their feet, and then dribble once and do it again. And I suppose I could Google this, but no, that's cool. Water polo is cool. It's a bunch of people just trying to drown each other for like an hour.
Yeah, water polo. So I have a lot of memories. As a kid, I would watch the Olympics like late at night, like midnight, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And for some reason, water polo was always on in the summer. And in the winter, it was always curling. So those are my like two sports I have memories of watching late at night as a kid.
Yeah, those are my obscure ones where I can sit and watch for a while. But no, Olympics are cool. There's always something going on, which is fun.
Yeah, I do dig the Olympics. Some of the sports though, Brian, they got to eliminate. Like equestrian, like
dressage.
That's gotta go. Yeah, they just have these weird sports. Like golf wasn't a sport until this year, and then they have all these super weird sports. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We need some more new sports. Why aren't there enough new sports?
Well, they tried with, what was the trampoline basketball sport?
Slam ball?
Slam ball, yeah. Slam ball was sweet.
Slam ball was sweet. There's other new sport. You're right, there's other new games like that. Do you think they'll get... Actually, what could be interesting to see in a few years is if they have something for like CrossFit or Tough Mudder type things, or like an American Ninja Warrior.
Ooh.
Because that seems to be increasing in popularity and would actually be super entertaining to watch.
I think it's a long time before that becomes an Olympic sport, though. It's like a little too, like... I don't know, shtickish. You know?
Shtickish?
Like, yeah. Like,
it's a great word.
You know what I mean? It's like this contrived activity with all these different obstacles along the way. It's made for viewership, which I respect. But a lot of the Olympic sports are old, timeless sports, which are, quite frankly, kind of boring to watch. But they've been part of history for centuries.
That's so true. I guess the most modern sport they have is probably in either one is probably like snowboarding.
Yeah, it is.
Which is, but now it's like a huge part of the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's wild. Maybe whirlyball could get in there.
Oh god, whirlyball, that'd be so cool.
We'd have a chance to be Olympian.
No, we wouldn't.
If I could just work on my shot.
Yeah, I'm terrible. Actually, that's not true. I'm actually kind of decent. But it's like anything, right? Like, just being a good, you have to be born a certain level of athlete to be good at anything. Like, I like to think that if I would have fenced a lot, I could be a good fencer. So I've got the right brain for it, but I'm just not fast enough.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And it would probably happen with whirlyball, too. We're just not like, there's a certain level of natural coordination that we don't have.
Whirlyball, though, you're as fast as your car, right? So
I know, but it still helps to, like, if you could move your mallet faster, or reach farther, or... be more accurate.
Is that what it's called? Is it a mallet?
I don't know. Scoop? Your scoop?
Scoop.
Yeah. So go Olympics. This is great.
Yeah. I'm pretty amped about the Olympics. Oh, one last point on the Olympics. I've been saying this for a long time, but why aren't they every 2 years? How about this? Every year just have summer and then the next year winter forever. Why on the odd years are there no Olympics? Who's against doing them every year?
That's a really great point. I don't know who.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, the IOC would come out ahead, the host countries would come out ahead, NBC would come out ahead.
Advertisers, yeah, they would love it. Are you kidding?
Like, have they not thought of this?
This is like a TV dead zone right now, and they're going to get insane ratings.
Yeah, I feel like they should hire me as a consultant, like the Wolves hired Korn Ferry as a search firm, and I can feed them this idea. And I'll only take 1% of the additional revenue.
That's it? You're so generous.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty good. No, but seriously, no one even talks about it. Like, what's going on? Just make it every year.
I don't know. Yeah, I think with some sports, it takes... No, but you could speed this up. Like, some sports, there's like a three-year qualifying period. Like, soccer takes forever.
Yeah, you could speed it up. And honestly, every 4 years is almost unfair. If you're a certain age and you're a gymnast, for example...
No, that's true.
And you're like 14 and then you're 18, you miss like your prime. And it's kind of weird. Whereas if it's every 2 years, you're fine.
Isn't it crazy, by the way, the gymnasts have such a short shelf life?
Yeah, it is crazy.
Like, every other athlete peaks at, like, 28, but they peak at, like, 20.
You see that dude, like, yesterday shattered his leg?
I did not, but that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of a sneaky, brutal sport. There's all sorts of injuries. Okay, we good on the Olympics?
Yeah, we're good on the Olympics. Welcome to the Olympics pod.
Yeah, we have a lot more to get to. I'm just going to go quick over the couple other news and notes. Like I alluded to at the beginning of the podcast, the Wolves hired Noah Kroom of Goodwin Sports Management as our assistant general manager. He was a sports agent and previously interviewed for some GM positions, including Portland. He apparently has an expertise in the NBA collective bargaining agreement and salary cap. Sounds great. I'm on board. And you know what? I'm guessing he probably took a pay cut to take the position, which I really like. Means he really wants it.
Yeah, but assistant GM is super cool.
Well, yeah, it's amazing. But
I would take a pretty big pay cut. I think most anyone would.
Yeah, I would too. Speaking of that, we're getting off on all sorts of tangents, but the Gophers, you know, Jerry Kill left, so they promoted his assistant to head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And they raised his salary. He was making like $300,000 or something, and they raised it to like $1.6 million. And it's like, I was thinking about it, and it's like, you know what? He would have done it for no raise, right? Like, why is it just automatic that he gets this massive raise and, like, the U doesn't care because it's not their dime. The taxpayers end up paying for it. But I was just kind of thinking about it. Like, what? Why is it just an automatic thing that you get promoted and you get this massive raise when he would have done the job without a raise?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Okay, little tangent. Brian, little last news and note before we get into our exclusive audio clip. This came from r/Timberwolves. Someone posted they're wondering which player on the Wolves is most likely to get a 50-point game this season. My answer is Zach LaVine, Brian. Your thoughts?
I'm going to go with Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
Yeah.
So I was surprised. I looked into Zach LaVine. He's only scored 30-plus two times. April 11th, 2015 against the Warriors and January 27th of this year against Oklahoma City. So he's a long ways to go to 50, but I think he's by far the most likely player to do it.
By far. Why so much more than Wiggins?
Well, Wiggins isn't going to make a lot of threes on his way to 50, which makes it real tough to do.
Yeah, he'd have to make like 20 free throws.
Yeah, he
could do that.
Which he actually could do. Whereas LaVine, LaVine can be streaky, and he could go like 8 for 11 from beyond the arc and you know, on his way there. That's why I think it's LaVine.
Yeah. No, it's I think that's reasonable. By the way, Zach LaVine has 1.2 million Instagram followers. Jesus.
That's pretty good. I mean, he's a slam dunk contest champion.
That's true.
Back to back.
Yeah, I think, you know, Wiggins would do it by getting to the rim a lot. You know, say he hits like four threes, which is possible, though, like, not the most probable for him, but it's definitely within reason. And he's just going to get a lot more touches than Zach on a given game. So he's just more likely to get there.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully one of them gets there. I think the odds are no one's getting 50 on the Wolves this year.
Yeah, I think that's true. Unless Williams comes back.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We could sign Mo Williams or Corey Brewer to like a one-day contract.
I'm sorry I stole your joke.
We're kind of on the same page today, Brian.
So my other update on the offseason is Drew Hanlon, famed basketball trainer, works a lot with Wiggins, and he also does a bunch of work with LaVine, apparently teaching Wiggins how to dunk better. But he posted a video of Zach working on his handles and pulling up for mid-range. But I don't know if you've seen this video, but did you notice Zach's outfit?
I have not seen the video.
Okay, so Zach's wearing a like brown, red, and tan striped polka dot tank top. Sorry, not polka dot, but like horizontal striped tank top with mid-calf length capris.
While he's working out?
He's working out with this trainer who's, I'm assuming, getting paid a lot of money to work him out.
Was it like mid-workout, or could have this been like after he showered and he just was doing like one shot for the camera?
It could be, but man, what a weird outfit choice. I'm going to assume he just wears that all the time when he works out, and that's why he's not getting any bigger. He's restricted by the capris.
I got to get a pair of capris.
It'll help your game. Drew also posts a lot of pictures and videos of Wiggins dunking, which in theory, I suppose, is supposed to make him look good, but like Wiggins is always just a super good dunker.
I don't really have a hot take. Watching Wiggins and LaVine do cool stuff is cool.
It bodes well for this trainer. Look at what I taught Zach today. He can dunk. Did you see the 720 video?
Yeah, I saw that.
You noticed it? Did you notice it cuts out before the end?
I did.
Let's just assume it went in. It definitely didn't go in.
Yeah, it probably didn't go in.
Oh, well.
We good?
You don't want to talk Timberwolves at all, man.
No, I want to talk Timberwolves. I'm just concerned about our time.
Okay. Yeah, let's go on.
Oh, sorry. You have one last note. We should get to that. The Warriors versus the Field.
Yeah. So what do you think about this one? Like, obviously, they got quite a lot better. They're not as deep next year. But for winning the title, do you think the Warriors are 50-50 or higher?
You know what? I actually do.
Favorites?
I do, and I back this up with money. I bet someone, one of our friends the other day, gave them even odds. I took Golden State, and they took the Field. Jeez. Yeah, I think they're better than 50%.
Vegas agrees with you. They're 3-2 to win the title.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, they have to be a massive favorite.
The Cavaliers are only a little behind, which surprised me, because they didn't get any better. And I still don't think Golden State played super well at the end of those games.
No, I thought Golden State played poor in the finals. Their biggest rival in the West, they did sign Westbrook, good for them, but obviously they lost Durant. Durant went to Golden State, so Golden State is a huge favorite to come out of the West. And then they're going to play Cleveland again in the finals, who LeBron's amazing, but man, that Golden State team it's too good. They're going to be too good.
Yeah. And they're so deep now. I mean, the concern with them is always like, oh, if Curry gets injured, they're like kind of they're still a very good team, but they're like a 55-win team, not a 65-win team, which is reasonable. When your best player in the league MVP gets injured, you shouldn't be exceptional. But like now they have two guys between Curry and Durant where if one of them gets hurt, they're still exceptional.
Yeah.
And that's pretty nuts.
Yeah. I think they're better than the Field to win the title, which is insane in a 30-team league.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I don't have a great argument against it. I think I would probably be on the other side of that, but I'm not confident enough to bet money. So I think you made a good call.
All right. Good. Well, time will tell.
Time will tell.
Should we play our exclusive audio clip?
Yeah. This was sent along from someone that was at the meeting. One of our secret inside sources with the team was recording this on their phone and sent it over to us.
Yeah. I believe it opens up with Karl Anthony Towns speaking. And then it goes from there. So let's go ahead and click play. Oh, man, coach, did you see that? I'm so excited for the future of our team.
Karl, I saw. I wish you weren't so peppy all the goddamn time. I told you, nothing matters besides the defensive footwork.
All right, coach, I'll just keep being super diligent and playing Monopoly on Twitch. I thought you were supposed to be relaxed after your vacation. Hey, Chris, how's your head? Concussion feeling better?
Fine. That's all you got, kid? Yeah.
Dang, man, you're making Wiggy look like a chatty Cathy. Hey, Zach, how's the dunk coming along? Oh, hush, Carl. I do more than just dunk. Been working on my handles and my mid-range pull-up jumper.
You should be working on your defensive footwork. What the hell are you wearing?
Oh, this? It's a pork pie hat, tie-dye tank top, macrame jeans, and Vans, with a bright green and purple cardigan.
Well, at least you didn't get any skinnier.
I tried, coach, but it turns out it wasn't possible. Hey, is that Ricky? Ricky Rubio? Do my eyes deceive me? Is that you?
Hello, Carl. It is me, Ricky. I returned from España to cheer for my replacement. I mean, teammate, Christina Dunn.
Actually, Ricky, it's Chris.
Oh, lo siento. Did I say it wrong? I'm so sorry. My English is so bad. Chris is going to be great. I'm so excited to have another, younger, more athletic point guard who can't shoot. It should do wonders for our spacing.
Don't worry about offense, kid. Just think of what we can do on defense. Plus, I heard you were working on your three-pointer this offseason.
Shut up, guys. I really did this year. I'm aiming for 34%. You'll see. All of you.
Sure thing, kid. Kevin, is that you?
Anything is possible! I love you, Kevin. Shut up and work harder. Stop being so nice. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Okay. Pretty strange audio clip we had.
I'm worried about team unity.
I am, too. There seems to be a lot of deep-seated shit there.
Yeah, Ricky seems a little worried. Tibbs just tells everyone to shut up.
Should we get into how many minutes we think the guys are going to play this year?
Yeah. Do you notice Tibbs sounded a lot like Christian Bale trying to do Batman?
You know, there's a lot of ways to go with Tibbs' voice, right? He has such like that deep, raspy voice.
I can't. It'll require some practice. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. I didn't know how to differentiate Kat and Levine. It was tough for me.
I don't even know what Chris Dunn sounds like.
Okay, let's talk about minute splits.
Okay, minute splits. Probably shouldn't spend a lot of time on this, but I don't know how you want to do it, Brian. I can just give you my minutes rundown.
Yeah, let's go by, you know, kind of area. So we'll start off with, like, point guard and shooting guard.
All right, that sounds good. I have Rubio averaging 28 minutes a game this year. He averaged 30 last year. I think it's just going to be down slightly because I have Chris Dunn in at 18 per game and Tyus getting 8 per game at the point guard spot.
Wait, that's 54 minutes.
Well, yeah, it's point guard slash. So Thibs has said that Rubio and Dunn are going to be able to play together a little bit. And I'm guessing Dunn and Tyus will play together once in a while. So, yeah, it's a little more than the point guard minutes.
Got it. So I split it out just by position because I think that actually makes sense versus the way you did it. So for point guard, I think Rubio's going to play more. I think Thibs trusts his veteran point guards and honestly really leaves him in there to kind of run the show. So I think Rubio's going to get a few more minutes. So I think he's going to be up more in like the 33 range.
This is the same Rubio we've been openly shopping for like 2 months.
Yeah, but
I don't think his minutes are going to go up.
I think his minutes will go up. He's a good player.
Especially adding a really good, well, hopefully really good point guard, a lottery pick point guard.
Right, and so I split it up probably similar to you in that. So I've got Ricky at 33, I've got Dunn at 10, and then I've got Tyus at 5. I think Tyus will get consistent, you know, a few minutes a game here and there. Like some games it'll be 5, some games it'll be 15 if he's playing well. Because if he shoots the ball well and continues to evolve on offense, he'll make a difference. And I think we'll have enough defense around him, hopefully, to kind of make up for his complete lack of defense. Or he'll get better, maybe. But I'm not.
The problem is, if Dunn only plays 10 minutes per game, that's a failure.
No, at point guard. So I also
Okay. You had minutes at the 2 for him.
Right. So shooting guard, I have Zach. I think pencil Zach in for 30 minutes a night, unless Thibs gets sick of his defense and lack thereof. But I think Dunn's going to play 10 minutes a game at shooting guard with Ricky probably at the point. And I think that's going to be a really interesting lineup because defensively, that's a pretty, what I hope will be a pretty strong backcourt.
No, that is. I had Levine 27 minutes. He played 28 per game last year, combined with Dunn playing a little bit too. And then I'm guessing Wiggins is going to play a little bit of two as well this year.
Yeah, that's what I had. I have Wiggins in for like 8 minutes a game at the two. I think we could see him there a little bit when maybe Bazzi's in. Or, yeah, basically that's it. I don't think Bazzi can play two. So I think Wiggins will need to be there.
Yeah, I had Wiggins 35 minutes game total. You, Brian?
38.
38, man.
Thibs rides his guys, man. And Wiggins doesn't seem like he gets, you know, really tired. He's good at closing out games. I think he's going to play a lot of minutes under Thibs.
Yeah, I think he's going to be around the same as last year just because Wiggins didn't really bring it every minute of every game last year. And I think that's going to change this year. So I'm not sure his minutes are going to be able to go up. That was my rationale.
Yeah, fair enough. Small forward, yeah, like I said, Wiggins at 30. And I think Bazzi's just going to get the other 18 minutes there.
Yeah, I've Boz 17, so basically same page there.
Basically. Yeah, we're on the same page.
How many minutes do you have for Towns? I have 35.
Same. I think Towns is going to get 35. What I think is going to be a little different this year is I think Cole Aldridge is going to get most of the backup center minutes, and we'll see Gorgie mostly a power forward.
Yeah, I could see that. I have Cole getting 16 minutes a game and Gorgie getting 24.
Okay. How do you have those kind of split up? Do you have those split up by position, or you just kind of did like two big men?
Yeah, I just kind of did two big men. I mean, Cole is going to play way more five. Like, if they're on the court at the same time, it's going to be Cole at the 5, Gorgie at the 4. So I agree with you.
I don't see. That's the thing. I don't think Cole and Gorgie could ever play together because of spacing.
Yeah.
Like, having Towns in there at 5 is very different.
That's true. So you're saying, what are you saying then?
So I think the center minutes will all be Kat and Aldridge. So Kat will get 35, Aldridge will get like 13, which seems about right.
And then, oh, you're saying Gorgie's 0 minutes at the 5?
Yeah, I think Gorgie's going to get 20 minutes a game at center. He'll start each half, I think. I think he'll continue to be the starter. So,
do you think when Towns and Aldridge are on the court?
I don't think Towns he'll ever be on the court together.
I mean, come on. Never?
Yeah.
The whole season? I'm just saying that they are going to be at times, and when they are, Towns is playing the 4 during those minutes.
Yeah, but Towns shouldn't play 4, as I've been convinced of by other people.
Okay.
So
Bielitsa.
Bielitsa. So power forward, I've got Gorgie at 20. I think Garnett, I do think Garnett's going to play, and I think he's going to play 15 minutes every other game.
I have Garnett for 0 minutes. I actually don't think he's going to play.
Oh, interesting. Why?
I mean, there's not a lot of strong reports one way or another. He could barely play last year. He's a year older.
I think he likes being around the team, though.
He's not going to retire, I think. So.
Oh, you think he'll just barely play and just stay on the team?
Yeah, I mean, I guess 0 minutes probably isn't correct, but he might play, you know, 8 minutes once a week or something, and then he's going to be hurt the last 4 months of the season.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, something like that. I mean, he's not going to retire because he's getting paid $8 million this year. He's probably going to keep that.
Yeah, that's real money.
By the way, Spain's going to lose.
Yeah, this game is pretty epic, though.
Yeah, pretty cool game.
All right, so yeah, so I think it's going to be power forward is just going to be Gorgie's going to get 20. I have Garnett penciling for 15 every other game, and then I think Belly is going to get the remainder. So it'll end up being, like, anywhere from 13 to 20 minutes a night. Belly looked really good to close out the season.
Yeah, I have Belly at 20 minutes. I'm optimistic. I feel like he's the kind of guy that Thibs is going to like. So I think his minutes are going to go up from last year. He played 17 per game last year. And then I have Hill at 6 minutes and Rush at 6 minutes because they're going to get some.
Oh, I forgot about Rush. I actually forgot he was on our team.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get a lot of minutes, but six per game seems about right.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Maybe Biles goes down. God, we got to move.
I actually added up my minutes, by the way. They total out.
Yeah, mine do. Mine was easy because I did it by position. So obviously what that means is there's no minutes for Peck.
That's correct. Yeah, Peck's done.
Wait, it's not confirmed, it's right? Done. But we just both think he's done?
It's absolutely not confirmed. I would be surprised. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays again. I'd be surprised if he sustains playing again. So maybe he'll try a comeback again like he did last year and play a few games and then not be able to play. I don't think he's going to play in the league anymore.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think he'll play, which sucks. He was so good for a little bit. I do think Jordan Hill will get, like, probably, like, 5-6 minutes a game, like you said. And I think there'll be a power forward. I think we have enough minutes at center, and he's a bit smaller. And I think we're both in agreement that Payne probably shouldn't be on our team.
Yeah, I have Payne at 0 minutes. That's more wishful thinking.
He's not good. How has he, like, not gotten any better? He's 26. He should be a little bit better.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
Disappointing.
He's not very good.
No. I'm super excited for the season to start. I cannot wait for this year.
I'm pumped, too. We're going to be in playoff contention, I think, this season. First time in a few seasons, at least. And I don't think I'm going to get season tickets again this year, but I'm going to get to a lot of games.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Brian, I have a little story. I went to an event held by the Timberwolves. This was, like, a week ago. It was a happy hour at Kieran's, followed by a behind-the-scenes tour of Mayo Clinic Square and the Target Center renovations. I was pretty pumped about it. Me and my wife went. We got a babysitter. It was a whole thing. We went to Kieran's. They were out of food, which was kind of a bummer, but it was a full open bar hosted by the Wolves. I really enjoyed that. It was pretty cool. And then our tour time was 6:30, and there's the Lynx game at 7, which we got tickets to. So 6:31 comes. I go up to the guy. I'm like, okay, we're on the 6:30 tour. He goes, oh, they left like 3 minutes ago, but you can still catch them. They're just down that hallway. So we start going down that hallway, and this other guy stops us, and he goes, oh, 6:30 tour. No, you don't want to do that. We're doing a catch-all 6:45 tour. He goes, don't worry about it. 6:45, we're doing a tour. And my wife and I, we both had like a drink left. So our glass was full. So it worked out pretty good. So we're like, okay. So we're standing there at like 6:40. The guy comes over and he goes, I just double checked. 6:45, meet me in 5 minutes. We're like, great. Thanks a lot. That's like really nice of you. So 6:45 comes. We go up to the guy. He's standing next to another Wolves ticket rep. And we go, yeah, we're here for the 6:45 tour. The other rep goes, 6:45 tour? There's no 6:45 tour. And we're like, well, what you said there was a 6:45 tour. Not only did you say that, you went out of your way to confirm with us there's a 6:45 tour. And the guy's like, no 6:45 tour. That's way too close to the game. There'd never be a 6:45 tour. Long story short, or long story long, we did not get the 6:45 tour. We did not get the behind the scenes tour.
Sad.
Yeah. I was like a little sad in a moment, but not that sad. I've had really good experiences too as Wolves season ticket reps. So I was pretty disappointed by that.
Well, so wait, you never got a tour?
No, No tour. I have no idea what the behind-the-scenes Target Center currently looks like. Except, man, I'm getting in a lot of tangents. I saw Louis C.K. at the Target Center this week.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really funny. It was an incredible show. I thought it was way better than his last special that came out. It was on par with his special 2, 3, and 4 specials ago. But anyways, there's major construction at the Target Center, so the front lobby's closed. So it took us about 40 minutes to get in, which sucked. yeah, it was sold out, 15,000 people at the show. Really, they shouldn't have events like that until they can finish the renovation, because it was kind of not acceptable how long it took to get in the stadium. But great show.
Cool.
Should we do a Where Are They Now, Brian?
Yeah, let's do it. Wow, this got really long.
I know. We'll just do Where Are They Now. We only got 2 emails this week, so we'll get through them pretty quick.
Yeah.
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
All right. Stop me when you know who it is. Born in Baltimore, Maryland in 1969.
Ooh.
He attended and agreed to... No, sorry. Didn't attend. He agreed to attend DePaul University before being declared academically ineligible to play for the school. Therefore, he instead attended San Jacinto in Houston, Texas for 2 years before transferring to Florida State, where he led the team as a senior to an Elite Eight berth. He was drafted then 24th overall in the 1993 NBA draft by the Houston Rockets. This will probably give it away, but he won 2 championships with Houston before being traded to Phoenix. He was then subsequently traded to Dallas, New Jersey, Milwaukee, before being traded to the Wolves in 2003 for Joe Smith and Anthony Peeler.
God.
He had 3 good years.
Oh, Latrell Sprewell.
No, you're really close. You're thinking of the other guy.
Oh, it's Cassell.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Jesus.
He had 3 good years for the Wolves, but ultimately his balls proved to be too big for Minnesota. So he was traded to the Clippers for Marco Yarick and Lionel Chalmers. I remember at the time, Brian, you were pretty pumped about the trade. You loved Marco for some reason.
I did.
He finished out his career with an NBA championship in Boston, retiring after winning the title in 2008, finishing his career with 3 NBA titles. He then became an assistant coach for the Wizards under Flip Saunders in 2009, remained as an assistant coach in Washington for 5 years before in 2014 he became an assistant coach with the Clippers, where he is still an assistant coach. And that's where Sam Cassell is now.
Cool.
His big ball dance was, I don't know if it was my favorite NBA moment, but it was like among my favorite NBA moments.
It was up there.
Yeah, I've probably watched the YouTube video way too many times for, like, you know, an adult male to have watched.
Nice.
I really liked it. So that's Sam Cassell. Where are they now? Should we do a mailbag quick?
Do it.
You've got mail.
Let's do it. First email is from Michael Vasquez. Michael says, I think it's very unfair for everyone to compare Chris Dunn to players like John Wall and Dwayne Wade all the time. Their size and statistical numbers are a little similar, but I think a better and more realistic comp is Victor Oladipo, just because he's 2 years younger than Rubio, and I think he's very near his ceiling, in my opinion. He is the 4th most potential on the team behind Cat, Wiggins, and Zach. Your thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still some potential there, but I just don't think that it's shown in the numbers improving, really. Do you?
Some potential there. Wait, what?
I wasn't listening.
That didn't even make sense.
I always stop listening by this point.
We're talking about Chris Dunn.
Oh, sh**. I thought you said Rubio. Wait.
Yeah. Okay. So I think what Michael's talking about is, Brian, me and you have brought up the comparisons of, I think you brought up Dwayne Wade. I brought up John Wall. Obviously, that's like 1% chance of happening. It's sort of by, you know, the pie in the sky, best case scenario. Victor Oladipo, they're kind of different players. I'm not sure that's the best comp, but that skill level, I'm hoping Chris Dunn's better than Oladipo. And I think the odds that he ends up better than Oladipo are better than 50-50. Your thoughts, Brian?
I don't think it's better than 50-50. I think Oladipo would be a pretty good outcome for Dunn. Like, they're picked around the same place. In the draft, neither one's a great shooter. They're both fairly athletic, known for defense. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I think if he ends up being Victor Oladipo, I think that's fine. I do think it's likely. Like, I don't think he's going to be... What's a drastically better version of Victor Oladipo?
I mean, Chris Dunn, he's way stronger than Oladipo is, even now, even though he's younger. I think he's a little quicker than Oladipo, especially with the ball. For that reason, I'm not sure there it's the best comp.
Okay.
Anyways, okay. Next email is from Carrie. Carrie, thank you for the email. He said, quick note on my last email regarding the Joe Smith situation. I was being tongue-in-cheek. I guess I'm still a little bitter and needed to vent. I think we knew, Carrie. We knew.
Adam knew.
Anyway,
I didn't know.
Okay, Brian didn't know, but I knew. I recently listened to a national podcaster of the T-Wolves as a lock for the playoffs. I'm a diehard Wolves fan and super optimistic, but that seems aggressive. The way I see it, the top three seeds from last year, Warriors, Spurs, Thunder, won't match their win totals from last year, and some of those W's will trickle down the standings. Houston won 41 for the 8 seed, so add a couple wins to that for around 43-44 to probably make the playoffs this year, in Carey's opinion. His question is, do you think with our offseason acquisitions, coaching upgrade, and internal development, the Wolves are a lock for the playoffs? Yeah, I mean, clearly not, Carey. I mean, they're not a lock for the playoffs. I think it's worse than 50-50 even that they make the playoffs. And, you know, their coaching upgrade is obviously huge. That's worth a lot. Their young guys are a year older, which is really good. Their offseason relative to other teams' offseason, I'm guessing, was a little bit of a net negative, which I'm not even complaining about a lot due to, you know, we're going to have more cap space, more flexibility in the future than some of those teams. But, yeah, not a lock. Brian, are we a lock?
No, definitely not a lock. Yeah, I think it's less than 50% to happen. It would be, I mean, it's definitely within the realm of possibility, but we'd have to get a lot better at defense.
Yes, yes, we would. Who knows? Who knows what Thibs brings? Anything on the Twitterverse this week, Brian?
No, actually. It's kind of sad.
Nothing on the Twitterverse? Two emails? So, come on, guys. We appreciate the emails. We appreciate the tweets. You can find us, TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, @TWolvesPodcast, and find us on Facebook, Two Man Wolf Pack. We really do appreciate communications, so keep them coming, guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't say come on, guys. I would say we really appreciate it, and we'll take whatever we can get. It's as you'll notice by our 30-minute deep dive on the Olympics today, there's not a lot of Wolves content right now, so now's the time to send us stuff.
Yeah, you put that a lot nicer than I did, and that's correct. It's a tough... I mean, there's nothing going on right now. It's tough. But you know what? These are some of the fun shows. I feel like we have a little more flexibility, Brian, in what we want to talk about. If we want to talk about the Olympics for a half hour, we can talk about the Olympics for a half hour.
Yeah, why not? But thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Keep the emails coming. Keep the tweets coming. And we'll be back, hopefully not in 17 days. Hopefully more like 9 or 10 days, we'll try to shoot for.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.